Father, thank you that you've given us the capacity to understand and to know you. And that we can relate to you, God, that we can call out to you and know that you hear us. And that we can call out to you not as a distant God, but a God that is close. A God that knows us intimately. A God that knows what's going on in our hearts, our lives, our surroundings, our circumstances. A God that knows the very number of hairs on our head. Father, you are so intimately involved in our lives, Lord. You know us. Lord, we thank you that you have extended an invitation towards us that we may know you. Father, I pray that you will help us by your Spirit to know you more and more, that we may understand you more and know you more and understand you more and know you more. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will create in us a hunger that cannot be satisfied with anything except to understand and to know you. And Lord, as we are here today, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us, that you would lead us closer to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. I want to continue on something that we have started a couple of weeks ago, and that is really pursuing God. I have a little echo here somewhere. I think the monitors are on. If we can just kill the monitors. And I want to continue with that, just how to find your purpose. How to find your purpose. I mean, there are so many people, and we a couple of weeks ago, I shared on just our calling. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a calling? What is your calling? And we explored the whole concept of calling. We've heard so many people speak about calling on their lives and purpose on their lives, and we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. And you know what? Your calling and your purpose really boils down to this. It's simply this. It's different to different people, and it's different in different seasons, but it really boils down to God's will for your life. That's your calling. And that's different for different people. It's not one calling is greater than the other. It's not that the guy on the pulpit has a greater calling than the dentist. That's not true. What is true is that God has a purpose for your life, and you living out that purpose is your calling. And we looked at that, God's plan for your life, your destiny, the promised land, and how God calls us to life. His purpose for our life always leads from glory to glory, because God loves us. And we looked at how to pursue God's will for our life as opposed to another plan. You know, the promised land is God's purpose for your life. The desert is the other plan. You know, following your own way. Doing your own thing. Almost going through the desert, not knowing where you're going, you know. And, you know, that other plan is really meaningless. When you look back at your life, at the end of your life, what is the eternal value of your life? And that's the difference between living the purpose of God for your life and living some other purpose. The difference is in when we look back at it and we can see what eternal value our lives had produced as opposed to nothing. And it's not that God's provision is absent in the desert. No, He's still there. He still cares. I mean, the manna and the cloud and the fire, it was all there, but at the end of the day, it didn't produce eternal value. And that was the whole sermon. Destiny is not something that happens. Destiny is not something that just happens. Destiny is a choice of following God's purposes for your life. It's a deliberate choice. And we see that in the life of Israel, leaving Egypt in a transition towards the promised land. And how God, by His presence, led them to the promised land. But they had to choose. They had to choose whether they're going to enter into God's promises, God's purpose for them, or not. And there was reasons why they did not enter into God's promise. And they ended up 40 years in the desert, going around the same mountains. And at the end of that 40 years, that was meaningless. because they didn't follow God's purpose. So there was reasons why they missed God's purpose. But even in them missing God's purpose, God's presence was still there. God's provision was still there. God's love was still there. But at the end of the day, there was nothing to show for it. And that's really what I believe that God wants to call us as a church, but us as individuals, that we should not just go around the mountain. We shouldn't just be traveling. But we should be traveling somewhere. We should have a purpose that we're going towards. That at the end of our lives, we can look back and see God's purposes fulfilled in our lives. And I've realized that, you know, as we're in this journey of life, we're either in a phase of preparation or a phase of occupation, possessing the promises of God. I mean, that's Israel. They were either traveling in a transition towards a promise, or they were actually in the process of possessing a promise. And so too in our lives. You know, you're either going to be in a transitional phase, ending off one season in your life and moving on to another season, whether that is being single, married, being parent, being grandparent, working, retired. You know, we move from different seasons, and as our seasons change, so does God's purpose change. But the reality is, we are either in a season of transition, preparing ourselves for the next, or we're in the next season where we're in the process of possessing that what God has called us. And that's the reality in which we live. But I found that there are so many Christians that actually, when you ask them, what is God's purpose for your life? What is God's calling on their life? They do not know. And I found that there are so many Christians that are still in a transitional phase, where they are still in the process of understanding God's will for their life. I don't know if there's anybody like that here today. Were you still trying to figure it out? And it's because there are so many that I would like to just spend some time on this again, you know. The word that came earlier through the worship, that God has a green olive twig. I trust this morning that the word that God has laid on my heart will be like a green olive twig to you, where you are leaving your ark and you are searching for the new. And I really trust that God will impart something into your hearts that will be like that. That you will see, that you will have a glimpse of God's purpose for your life. For the next season. For the new season. That you may return back with an excitement as you engage the new. And go of the past, but engaging the new. Here in Acts 13, verse 36, we read something and a powerful testimony that I'm trusting that each of us one day will leave the same legacy. Because what a powerful legacy, what a powerful thing to say about David. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his ancestors. I mean, what a powerful testimony. After David had served God's purposes in his generation, he fell asleep. I mean, what a powerful testimony. David fulfilled God's purpose for his life. And then he went home. One day, I would like to have a testimony like that. That's one of the things, I guess my gravestone is becoming very large now. But one of the things I would like to have also on my gravestone is that Andres completed God's purpose for his life. And then he went home. And I really trust that all of us will be able to. Who would like to have a legacy like that? So I want to continue with this transitional phase and just how to find that purpose, how to find that will of God for your life, how to get to the place where you know what it is, because there's so many people that is still struggling with that. And I know God's desire for each one of us. I mean, imagine everyone in the kingdom, everybody in church, know what God has called them to do in their generation, in their season of life. I mean, imagine they not only know that, but they actually pursue that. I really believe that the world will not be the same ever again if all of us would just know and run for it. The key of finding your purpose, finding your calling, and I guess I can stop here. If this is the only thing that you remember, it should be this. If you write down, this is the only thing you should write down. The key in finding your purpose is in pursuing God's purpose. The key of finding your individual purpose in life, your individual meaning, your calling, the key of finding that thing that God has for your life, the key in finding that is in pursuing God's purpose. Now that sounds very obvious, but it's not. But I want to encourage you, if you are searching for your purpose, stop. Start by searching His. Because in finding His purpose, you will find your own. Your purpose is linked to His purpose. It is not independent of God's purpose. It is not unique of God's purpose. And I mean, in this modern world, we put so much emphasis on the individual within our culture, the individualistic mindset and drivenness of self and the worth of self infiltrates the church, and we put so much emphasis on your calling, which it is important, but it is not independent of God's purpose, and it is always linked to His purpose. So if you are struggling to find your purpose, you must first find His purpose. And in pursuing His purpose, I believe you will find your purpose. Your purpose on life will have definition when you see His purpose. It is in pursuing His purpose that you will find definition of your purpose. It's not the other way around. But I want us to explore this key. God called the people out of Egypt. He called Israel out of Egypt and to a country of their own. He said, listen, yeah, I know you've been slaves for 400 years, but I've heard your cries. I heard your calling to me. And I want you to come out of Egypt, and I want to give you a country of your own, a home of your own, the promised land, the land that I've promised to your forefathers. I'm calling you out of this nation into the promised land. And we read of this in Exodus 3, verse 7 to 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the other ites. Now, can I ask you this question? What was God's purpose for Israel? What was God's purpose? Possess their own land. Do we all agree? God's purpose for Israel was simply this. I have a land for you. I want to give you a land. I want to move you from this place to that place. My purpose for you, Israel, is to have your own land. That purpose still stands to this very day. So do we all agree that God's purpose was to get Israel to the promised land? And not just get them to the promised land, but possess the promised land. Okay, now I want to ask you another question. Let's move away from the corporate to the individual. What was the man Moses calling? What was his calling? To lead them out. Now, is that linked to God's promise and His purpose? Absolutely. Moses' calling found definition in God's purpose. In Exodus 3 verse 10, we've seen, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." You see, Moses found his calling and his purpose in God's purpose. That is what defined Moses. I mean, he was an old man by the time God called him. He was almost 80. But he found purpose in God's purpose. Moses found that individual purpose in the corporate purpose. Moses found his purpose in knowing and pursuing God's purpose. That's what defined Moses. Fast forward a little bit. Pharaoh finally let the people go. God's presence led them through the desert to the border on the edge of the promise, the purpose that God has given them, a place called Kadesh Barnea. And there they were camped on the banks of the Jordan, on the verge of entering into God's purpose for them corporately. And we read here in Numbers 13, verse 1 to 2, "And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.'" What was God's purpose? What was God's purpose for Israel? To possess the land. To possess the land. That was God's purpose. What was the purpose of the 12 men? To spy out the land and to bring back a good report. That was their purpose. Do we agree? Now, who of you can name me some of the names of those 12 men? Joshua, Caleb, no, he wasn't one of them. Oh, come on, guys, there was 12. There was 12 of them. Joshua, Caleb. Why do we only know about Joshua and Caleb? They're the only guys that did what God called them to do. What God called, they're the only ones that bought into the greater purpose of God. They found their calling and their purpose in pursuing God's purpose. What about the other 10? We don't even know about them. Because they didn't. They did something different. You see the power of finding your purpose in God's purpose. It is in pursuing God's purpose that you find definition of your own purpose. And it's in that you leave a legacy. It is in that when you look back in your life and you can see, but my life, there is eternal value left behind. There is a legacy that remains. Who of you would like to have a legacy like that? We still talk about Joshua and Caleb. But let's see what happened. Here in Numbers 13, verse 25 to 33. "Now they returned, the 12 spies, from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back the word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified,
and are very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." The first response, you know, as the report came in, a very logical, objective analysis of the reality of the promise of God with its blessings and challenges. And everybody was like, "Woo, you know, there's lots and there's challenges and there's cities and armies and giants and look at the grapes and look at all the fruit and everybody." And then Caleb quiet everybody down and says, "Listen here, let's go. We can do this." But the men that had gone up with him said, wait a minute. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are in it are great men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept at night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select the leader and return to Egypt." It's very interesting to see how a bad report can influence the heart of the corporate. I mean, here God gives a promise, God gives a purpose. And yet, through the bad report of 10 people, the whole congregation turned their heart. And it influenced them. They saw the challenges of God's purposes. They saw the armies, the fortified cities, the giants. They saw the challenges in God's purpose. And the challenges was too great for them. You know, one thing that I've learned in my life is that pursuing God's purpose always has challenges. Pursuing God's purpose always has challenges. I never could understand, "God, why, if you gave them the land, why didn't you take out the giants? Why didn't you destroy the cities? I mean, why didn't you just send out your angels and just clean the land? I mean, why didn't you leave it there?" Well, one thing that I've realized is that God's purposes always have challenges. And these challenges always pushes us out of our comfort zone, out of the safety of the known, into that place of faith. Well, the reason there's always challenges in God's purposes is because we cannot enter into the purpose of God without faith. So you're going to need faith to enter into the purposes of God. You're going to need faith to overcome the challenges that there is. Because in God's purposes, there will always be challenges so that your faith can be activated. So that you need to use faith to enter into it. Because like Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And that He comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, earlier on, somebody shared a word that God is calling us to step out on water. That He's calling us, but that we need to step out on water. Is there challenges in stepping out on water? Yes, you'll sink. It's not possible. So you must have faith to be able to do that. But they either lacked in faith or were not willing to step out of their comfort. I mean, they knew how to travel in the desert. But how to take out fortified cities and armies and giants? That bad report was not just a lack of faith, but an unwillingness to get rid of the past. And we see that in the way that they reacted. They weren't willing to let go of the past. Because the very thing that they spoke about was the fact that, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? I mean, wouldn't it be better for us to return to what we know, even though what we used to were captivity? We'll rather go back to captivity than to take on the challenges. And it was either a lack of faith that God is able to overcome through them, or it was an unwillingness to let go of the past, always looking back over their shoulder, the when we people. You know, when we were in Egypt, we had meat. When we were in Egypt, we knew we were going to have food. When we were in Egypt, we knew what time to wake up. When we were in Egypt, we knew what time we had to do what and how we're going to do what. They constantly looked back to Egypt. And it was either because of a lack of faith or an unwillingness to let go of the past. One of the things that will prevent us from moving into the purposes of God. Or simply just to move through the transition. So many people are in a transition and they never get out of the transition because they are not willing to get out of their comfort zone. They're not willing to step out of what they know. And that's one of the things that prevents us from entering into the purposes of God. Our unwillingness to step out of our comfort. The things that we're used to, the things that we know, the things that we are adequate in. Because whatever God calls us to is always going to lead us to take out the steps of faith. Step out of our comfort zone. Others struggle to get out of the transition because they just simply don't know. They just simply don't know where to go. And many people are there. They simply just don't know. They don't know what is God's purposes. And then the other is fear or lack of faith. Fear and lack of faith for the challenges of the future. Because once you know the purpose of God, once you've discovered that, once you've moved from the place of not knowing to the place of knowing, I can guarantee you, once you've discovered what God's purpose is, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged because there's going to be fortified cities and there's going to be armies and there's going to be giants. And that's why many people are actually quite happy with not knowing. Because then I never need to be challenged. But many people, once they've discovered what God's purpose is, don't have the faith to face the challenges. And that is some of the reasons why people never enter the promises of God, the purposes of God. Now we see how Joshua and Caleb appealed to the people's faith when they were challenged by the realities of the promise. So what they did is they stopped the congregation in their fear and they appealed to their faith. And we read of this in Numbers 14, verse 6 to 10. But Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are your bread, our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Do not fear them. Do not be afraid. But the people would have nothing of it. Their unwillingness to step out in faith, and their unwillingness to move from their comfort, the way things used to be,
prevented them from entering into God's promised land. Except for two people. There was just two people that was different. And we just named them, Joshua and Caleb. You know, earlier somebody said, do not look to your failure. God was saying to some of us here this morning, do not look to your failure. Well, you know, Joshua and Caleb could have turned around and said, you know what, we failed. We failed, and they did, quite frankly. They failed to convince the people. They tried their very best, but they failed. And God is saying, do not look to your failure. Because my purposes still stand. And that's exactly what these two men did. They didn't allow the failure to hold them back in their pursuit of God's promises. We see here in Numbers 14, verse 20 to 24, God is later on, you know, he was fed up with Israel, and he said, you know what, fine. If you don't want to go into this, if you don't want to hold on to this, you can go around this mountain. You can stay in the desert. As a matter of fact, God was so disappointed, he was so angry, he wanted to destroy all of Egypt, all of Israel. And then Moses had to intercede. Moses stepped in, and what a powerful picture of intercession. He says, God, please, 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 stop, stop, stop. Don't. And then God said, okay, I will not destroy them, but none of them will enter into my promise, except two people. And then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. What a powerful statement. You know, if you ever want to know what intercession is, that is standing in the gap on behalf of somebody else. And Moses was such a powerful intercessor. And here the Lord responds, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they shall certainly not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Do you see God's response? Because Caleb had a different spirit and he followed me fully. Remember Numbers 13, verse 30, when Caleb stood up, the first man to speak as an individual, he said, he quieted the people before Moses and says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb had a different spirit. He was full of faith and was willing to step out of the safety and the comfort of the past. He was willing to follow God's purpose fully. Despite the challenges. Now look how Caleb found his calling and his purpose in pursuing God's purpose. We go a little bit further on and we see in Joshua 14, finally the Israelites are entering into the land after 40 years. And the new generation is crossing the Jordan into the promised land. And Moses is dividing up the land. He's dividing up the land. He's dividing up the inheritance between the tribes. And in this process of dividing up the land according, and you must understand, this is a new generation. Everybody that entered into the promised land were the children of those who went before. It's a completely new generation. There's only 3 old men. Moses died and 2's left. It's Joshua and Caleb. They're well in their 80s. The rest all died. Bunch of teenagers with 2 old men. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And
And Caleb said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Remember. Remember 40 years ago. God spoke about us. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you followed wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke to Moses while Israel was wandering in the desert. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. I am as strong as the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength is for war, both for going out and for coming in. Therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord has spoken in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.'" This is an old man of 85 coming to another old man who is dividing up the land to young men in their 20s. He's dividing up the land to young men. Here comes an old man to another old man. And he says, "Hello, Joshua. Remember what the God has spoken. Well, here I am. I'm still alive. I'm 48. I'm 45 years later. I'm 85 years old, but I'm as strong as I've always been. And that word that God has spoken, I'm claiming it today. The purposes of God that I bought into, that I followed with all my heart. Today, I am claiming my inheritance. I'm claiming that word. I'm claiming that purpose." Do you see how his purpose, his calling, was fulfilled in pursuing God's purpose? He not only got it. It continues. Did I continue there? "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb and the son and his, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. And to this very day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Do you see that? Caleb's destiny, Caleb's calling was fulfilled. It was fulfilled for him and his descendants because he followed God's purpose. And in following God's purpose, his purpose got defined. In following God's purpose, his calling was clear. And because he followed God with a different spirit, because he followed God with all his heart, you know what? His calling was fulfilled. His purpose got fulfilled in pursuing God. As a matter of fact, so interesting, he took the worst place. He took the most difficult place. He took Hebron. He took the mountains. He took the place where the 45 cities was. He took the place where the giants lived. Remember, they were all complaining about the giants. This 85-year-old man says, No. Don't give me the low countries. Like I'm an old man. Like I cannot walk anymore. No, give me the mountains. Let the young ones take care of the easy ground. I want the 45 cities. I want the giants. Because I know my God. I know his purposes. I know in his purposes, I found my purpose, and I want it. So Joshua said, "Okay, well, shucks. Have it, brother. Go for it." And he did. He conquered the fortified cities. We read in Joshua 15. He killed the giants. And it became his inheritance. If you are still seeking to understand your calling and your purpose, if you are still in this transitional phase of trying to figure out what is God's calling for your life, what is your purpose for His life, I want to encourage you, start pursuing His purpose. If you don't know what is your purpose, start pursuing His purpose. Because I can guarantee you, in pursuing His purpose, you will find your purpose. In pursuing His purpose, you're going to find clarity about your calling. And in pursuing that, you're going to look back in your life and you're going to see eternity left behind. So many at this point will probably wonder, what is God's purpose? Well, if the key is finding God's purpose and pursuing His purpose, to find your own purpose, is if it's true that in pursuing God's purpose we will find clarity, we will find destiny. Well, what is His purpose? You see, that is where so many Christians are hesitant. They are hesitant. They say, I want to know what God wants from me. But I want to say to you, you will never find what God wants for you outside His purpose. You will never have that knowing and that definition of your purpose in life outside the purpose of God. And it's only in pursuing the purpose of God that you will find your purpose. It doesn't matter whether you're a dentist or whether you're a plumber or whether you're a mother or whether you're in school or whether you're studying or whether you're retired. If you want to know the purpose for the season of your life, you will only find it in pursuing His purpose. So what is His purpose? What is God's purpose? What is this thing that so many people are afraid of? What is this thing that has these challenges that so many are afraid to go there? This thing that has fortified cities and large armies and chariots and armor and giants and we have our sandals and the clothes that we left with Egypt for 40 years, God supernaturally didn't make their clothes wear or the sandals wear. They had the same fashion on. Ladies, for 40 years, I wish my wife could live like that. It changes every 40 days. It should be 40 years, my love, but 40 days. The same boots, same jeans, the same top. I tell you the story about my shoes. I bought these shoes. What was it? 10 years ago? I bought these shoes 10 years ago. And I remember when I bought them, there was these other shoes with these pointy toes. And I thought, wow, they're cool. My wife said, no, you're crazy. They're out of fashion. You must take the Stompnir shoes. So I bought them. Now she tells me, the Stompnir is out. You must get pointy shoes. I said, but I wanted them 10 years ago. She says, no, you must buy. No, I bought the pointy shoes. And I tell her, but don't worry, I'm not going to throw away these shoes. I'm going to leave them for another 10 years. Because then they'll be fashion again. I must just keep on to them. Unwillingness to change, maybe. But I got my pointy shoes. I only wear them for weddings and funerals. But what are the things that makes us fear? What is this purpose that has these challenges that just... Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's in Luke 10, verse 10. God makes it so powerfully clear for us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
If you want to know what is the purpose of God on the earth, if you want to know what's God's purpose, well, it's to get the lost saved. It's to seek and save the lost. It is to seek those who are outside of the body of Christ and to bring them inside. That's God's purpose. And yes, does it have challenges? Yes, it has lots of challenges. But if you want to find the purpose, the meaning of your life, pursue God's. And in pursuing God's, you will find yours. And you don't need, and the great thing is, you don't need to resign from anything. You just need to pursue His purpose. And that is to seek the lost and see them saved. That is God's purpose. That is God's purpose on the earth. Jesus is not coming back because there's still too many outside. That's God's purpose. He wants to see the lost saved. He wants to see us bringing the people outside inside. That's His purpose. And you know what's the amazing thing is? We can go to God and say, God, help me to understand how to do this as a plumber, or as a dentist, or as a mother, or as an engineer, or as a scholar. It doesn't matter. That's God's purpose. Whether you're retired or not, it doesn't change. That's God's purpose. And if you're in a season of transition, if you're in a season where you do not understand and know what's God's will for your life, I want to encourage you, pursue His. Because in pursuing His, you will find yours. In waking up every day and say, God, I want to pursue Your purpose. God, I'm just a plumber. I don't know why I say plumber. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm talking to you, Noel. I don't know. But I'm just a plumber. No, you're not just a plumber. You're a Caleb. Yeah, we need them. And we invite them into our homes. And we show them our rubbish. And somebody is coming into your home that is pursuing the purpose of God. Well, you know what? If you pursue the purpose of God and you ask God to help you, to show you how. God's going to show you how. And He's going to use you in the homes that you go into. And you're not just going to fix their pipes. You're going to fix their marriages. You're going to fix their brokenness. You're going to give them hope in the midst of hopelessness. You're going to heal their diseases. You're going to invite them to church. They're going to get saved. You're going to lead them to salvation yourself. All of a sudden, if you start pursuing God's purpose, you know what? You're no longer a plumber. You're far more than that. All of a sudden, you leave footsteps for eternity as lives are being changed. And all you need to do is, you need to pursue God's purpose, and you need to ask God to teach you, to show you, to guide you. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a helper to come alongside of us, to show us every day when to speak, what to say. When not to speak, when not to say something, when to love, when to teach, when to pray, when to encourage. But the moment you start pursuing God's purpose, you know what? God starts to teach you. And He starts to show you. My whole life has found definition in pursuing God. So can yours. You must just ask Him. You must just say, God, I want to follow Your purpose. I want to take hold of it. God, I want You to teach me, to show me Your heart. And God can use you no matter what you do. As a matter of fact, isn't that amazing? As we are seated here, we're probably infiltrating, having influence in the entire community, in every sphere. From winemakers to architects to plumbers to electricians to people building roads. To people paying people to build roads. Selling houses, buying houses. Drawing up contracts, massaging feet. Teaching children. I mean, we're everywhere. So I want to encourage you, just ask God. Just the question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to pursue His purpose? Are you willing to face those giants and those fortified cities and those armies, those challenges that it might present? And yes, There are challenges, but you know what? You can certainly do it. Because God is with you. You must just believe it. And pursue it. Live it.
So I want to leave you with that simple question. Are you willing? Amen. Let's do that. Let's stand. Let's stand.
Father, we just want to thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And God, you have called us as a holy nation, a people to yourselves. You have called us your sons and daughters. God, you have taken away everything that hinders us from belonging to you, from knowing you. God, you've taken away our sin and our shame and our guilt and the consequence of those things, Lord. You've taken it away forever through your Son. And we didn't even deserve it. We couldn't even earn it, Lord. You just gave it to us. And then, God, you sent us. You said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. I mean, Lord, you say that you've made us co-heirs with Christ, that we may share in his inheritance. You're saying, this is yours. This is your promised land. I've sent my Son to seek and save the lost. I want you to go and do the same so that you can share in the joy, so that you can share in the glory, so you can share in the spoils. It's yours. It's there. Are you willing to go for it? To possess it? Are you willing to take hold of your inheritance? Are you willing? Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to seek me? Are you willing to ask me? Ask of me, the nations. Just ask me. It's yours. It's yours. You must just go take it. And I really sense that God is just encouraging us today. The harvest is plentiful. It's ripe. It's white. It's there for the picking. Yes, it's challenging, but it's there. So Father, as we hear before you, Lord, we just want to bring our hearts. And I just want you just to, where you are standing, just in your own heart, just to respond to God. Just to respond to God, because God is laying before us, I believe as he did to Israel, he's laying before us our inheritance. He's given us his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in us. The counselor, the mentor, the one that's with us always to bring to remembrance everything that he has taught us, that has empowered us to be witnesses. I mean, he's given us everything. Even his Spirit, you know, when he gave that commission, he told the disciples, before you go and do anything, before you go into the world, just wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes, he will empower you to be witnesses. He will empower you to take hold of your inheritance. But are you willing? So I want you just to respond in your heart. Just between you and God. Just respond to him, because God is asking you. God is asking you. God is declaring before you your inheritance. The question is, are you willing to pursue it? Just between you and God. Just speak to him. Father, I just want to thank you, God, for each and every heart here, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for willing people. God, I want to thank you for willing people. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if you want to respond to that, if you want to say yes, God, I want to take the inheritance. God, I'm afraid of the challenges. God, I see them, Lord. It's challenging. It's uncomfortable, Lord. But I choose, Lord, not to let that hinder me. God, I choose to look to you, to put my faith in you. God, I want to turn my heart to you, Lord. I want to ask you, God, to help me. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand before God. Just respond to Him. If you want to take hold of that inheritance that He has called you. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you are searching for your purpose, pursue His purpose. So I want you just to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I want my inheritance, Lord. I want it, God. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're 85. Maybe it's time that you say, but God, I want what you have promised. God, I want to thank you, God, for each and every heart here, Lord. I want to thank you. You can drop your hands. It's just between you and God. It's just between you and God. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for each and every person that is responding to you, Lord. I pray that you will come, Lord, and teach them, show them your purpose, Lord. I pray that you will teach them, Lord, to use their platforms and their careers and their influence. Lord, I pray that you will use them mightily, Father, as you did Joshua and Caleb, Lord. I thank you, Father, for mountain strongholds to fall, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for giants that will be killed, Lord. Fear of men, Lord. Pornography, Lord. Sin, Father God. Whatever is out there, Father God. I thank you, Father, for giant slayers, Lord, will leave this place, Father God, and will run, Lord, not because they are afraid, but because they have faith. Lord, I want to pray for David's, Lord, that will pick up 5 stones because Goliath wasn't the only one. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that no man will stop them. Lord, I thank you that they will overcome the cities, Lord, and the armies and the giants as you teach them, Lord, as you train their fingers for war, Lord. I want to thank you, Father God, for salvations, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for healings, God. I want to thank you, God, for brokenness and for families that are destroyed that will be healed, Lord, and restored, Lord. I pray, Lord, for healings, inner healings, Father God, of hearts, Lord, just returning to you. Oh, God, I want to send these people out, Lord. I want to send your people out. I want to send them out today in Jesus' name, Lord. I want to send them into their inheritance forever, Lord. God, so as we hear, God, I just want to pray in Jesus' name, Lord, as Jesus commissioned us and sent us, I want to send you into your purpose, into your workplace, into your homes. I want to send you to go and possess the land because surely you can do it. Together we can. So God, I pray that we'll do that in Jesus' name, Lord. And we pray that you will receive all the glory. That you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. There's an awesome coffee out there. Great fellowship. Remember the